Hello and welcome to the Lincoln County Gardener, a weekly segment broadcast on KYAQ Newport, where the Lincoln County Master Gardeners bring you weekly conversations on a variety of gardening topics. Master Gardeners are local community members trained in scientifically based gardening techniques by Oregon State University Extension Service, so we'll be sharing research-based and locally relevant information. My name is Ross, I'm a Lincoln County Master Gardener, and I'll be your host this week. And this week, we're talking about keyhole gardening. With me to fill us in on the topic is gardener Mary Jane Bonalitz. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
So would you sort of describe and define what a keyhole garden is?
Sure. Keyhole gardening actually started in Lesotho, Africa, and it was in response to the infertile soil that they have there. It's described as being like concrete when people dig into it. They also have a very arid environment and little or no water available. And so in response to that, they invented, for lack of a better word, this method of gardening where it's a raised bed, so the soil's contained in a raised bed. The keyhole name actually comes from the fact that the garden is usually round, although it's not required to be round, but there's a access point, which is like a wedge in a circle, and it looks like a keyhole, if the old-fashioned keyhole with a skeleton key. With the bed is a central composter, which is in the middle, and it has kitchen scraps in it, which leach out nutrients into the soil. Some of the purposes or advantages to doing keyhole gardening, obviously, are to improve the soil, which is what they were responding to in Africa. Ease of access because of the keyhole entry into the garden. It's easy to get to the vegetables or whatever you're working with. Because of the leaching properties, as you water in the central composter, the nutrients from that compost leach out into the soil, and it doesn't require fertilizer because of that. So literally no fertilizer is needed. Again, a real big advantage for our sustainable gardening where there's little or no input, so no fertilizer. You're not putting scraps from your kitchen into the landfill, which is always a benefit, and it saves water because you end up watering into the actual compost basket and not the surface water where it evaporates so much. So it saves water, ultimately. Mm-hmm. They estimate up to 80% saving in water.
That's very huge. Impressive.
Yeah.
Wow.
Huge.
It sounds like a much more integrated process of gardening than conventional raised bed container gardening.
Exactly. Yeah.
So then the difference is primarily that center composter. Would you describe what that is and how it works a little more?
Sure. It's a contained cylinder, which usually is made up of hardware cloth or chicken wire, so that it contains the compost in one area. The compost breaks down in there, and then it leaches on out.
So the purpose of that inside composter and its material is to be permeable? Is that
right? It's in fact, some of the compost itself, if you're using like the chicken wire, can actually move out into the bed itself. Ideally, it's contained within there, and then the nutrients, as you water into the central composter, go out into the soil.
So you're composting material from your kitchen. Is there sort of limitations on what types of materials you can compost?
There is. It's very similar to when you're doing just regular composting. You don't want things like meats in there. You don't want fat in there.
Uh-huh.
I recommend vegetables and fruits primarily. The vegetables and fruits break down much quicker.
So you're sort of trying to have a tighter composting cycle than a larger conventional compost bin.
It breaks down really quick. In our keyhole garden, I have put banana peels, which you wouldn't think would break down quickly at all.
They're pretty tough looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they can break down within a week or two.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how often do you have to feed the bed then?
I keep it full to the top.
Mm-hmm.
I just keep a 1 gallon bucket on my drain board and fill it up. And as soon as it's full, it goes in the keyhole garden composter.
So you mentioned that you have a keyhole garden. Did you build that or did you sort of adopt an existing
one? Well, I use the term loosely that I have one because I don't.
Yes.
The Lincoln City Demonstration Garden, mm-hmm. which is on the OCC campus in Lincoln City on High School Drive, actually has a keyhole garden, which was built in 2017. I got the idea, honestly, from Marion County Master Gardeners. I stopped by their demonstration garden and looked at their, wanted to see what they had, and they were doing a keyhole garden. They were building one right then, which I'd never heard of and was intrigued. We got the whole association involved and built this. It's about 36 inches high, 6 feet in diameter. It's impressive as a demonstration of what a keyhole garden could be. Keyhole gardens don't have to be, this is made out of cinder blocks. They don't have to be that fancy at all. The material, as long as it contains the soil, it can be any material that's on the exterior to contain the soil. There's pictures of some of the ones in Africa that are done with cloth or burlap with just stakes in the ground that just hold the soil in. And then they have some kind of woven vines that contain the compost in the central area. Mm-hmm. When you're building a keyhole garden, you want to put the opening or the wedge that goes into it to the north because you don't want to sacrifice any of your real estate to the south where you're getting your best sun.
Oh.
And so you want to make sure that's to the north. The central composter can be up to 16 to 24 inches in diameter.
Wow.
So it can be really big. I've never seen one 24. That's huge. And then you have the soil around it. When we were building ours, we decided to go ahead and use some different methods of creating soil. We used some, it's called Hugel Coulter, I think is how you say
it. Like lasagna gardening is what I've
exactly.
heard it called. Yeah.
Very familiar or very similar to lasagna gardening. The Hugel Coulter actually is from Germany, and it's a permaculture technique which is essentially layering decaying materials. Lasagna composting or permaculture uses usually logs, rotting logs. Now, obviously in a 6 foot in diameter bed, you're not going to have logs in there, but you can certainly have branches and twigs that are rotting. When we did ours, it's very similar to lasagna, where we put rocks on the bottom for drainage, and then we put in some twigs. Between every layer that we did it, we put in cardboard, where you cut out the tape and you cut out the label, so there's none of that stuff in there. But you put in cardboard and you wet down each layer. The cardboard creates air with the corrugated pieces and there's better circulation in there. And then we put in grass clippings, animal bedding. We actually put in some jeans. We cut out the rivets and the zippers and all of that stuff.
Wow.
Straw, leaves, all kinds of materials like that, natural materials. This was done in October, and when I turned the soil that next spring, it had all decayed. Nothing came out, including the genes. We believe that worms show us how great our soil is. If you've got lots of worms, you've got great soil. And I kind of think of it as like that movie, The Field of Dreams, where they say, build it and they will come. And you build the keyhole garden and the worms will come. And they did. There was lots of worms right after that first year.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So October in the fall is a good time to be thinking about establishing a keyhole garden?
You know, that was what we chose. I don't know that it really matters, except we wanted that layering method that we were using to cure over the winter. So if you're going to use that, you want to make sure and give it some time to break down before you're going to be planting in it.
So with all that nice, lovely soil, what types of things would you want to plant in a keyhole garden? Are there any plants that do particularly well?
You know, I haven't seen anything that doesn't do well.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then when you're thinking about what plants not to plant in a keyhole garden, it's more about sort of maximizing use of this good soil rather than...
Exactly. Anything can really go in there, from artichokes to zucchini.
Mm-hmm.
Anything can go in there. Yeah, maximizing what you've got there. You've got a great wealth of fertile soil, and you might as well use it for what would benefit the most, which usually are the vegetables. They're big eaters of nutrients, and so you might as well use it. They take it up.
Were there any unexpected challenges that you encountered when you were constructing this keyhole garden bed?
Well, besides the constructing it, there weren't any unusual challenges. It took a lot of people. We did it in one day.
Wow.
And we got the whole association involved. It doesn't have to be that big of a project, but it's fun to make it involve neighborhoods or groups of people.
A little work party.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a lot of work if you try to do it by yourself, so you might as well involve people to do that. What I hadn't expected and what we came across was there was, with the way we did the soil, is there was a dropping of the soil. It just settled. And so we had to replenish the top quite a bit, probably the top 6 to 10 inches. And we added compost to that, not to the kitchen scrap compost, but literally compost that has been cured for that. Covering the basket is important, the compost bin itself. And I used a galvanized lid to a trash can and just drilled holes in the side and then clipped it to the basket. That's to keep rodents out, as also to keep some of the water out, because it can get really saturated in the winters, as you know. As with any compost, it can go bad, meaning that it can smell bad when there's too much nitrogen. It can attract fruit flies. When that happens, you're doing the carbon to nitrogen ratio, and you want to make sure if you've got too much nitrogen or too much green, you put in some carbon, which what I do is I just take my leaves from the previous season, I bag them up and have them there, and so I just put in some dried leaves over the top of that. There's a tool called a wing ding. You actually stick it down and it will turn the compost, the central composter for you. So I just put the leaves in and turn them in, and it takes care of the problem of fruit flies and smell. And that's pretty much the only maintenance that we've done with it.
Wow.
You can actually get keyhole garden kits, but I recommend that you build it. And I also think it's best to do it in the round because it maximizes, you don't have any cutoff areas with a square. And also to make sure that there is a central composter. It defeats the whole purpose if there's not the central composter. There is a great book, or several great books, by Dr. Deb Tolman, T-O-L-M-A-N. One of them is called Build a Keyhole Garden. But the one that I really recommend, if any of the listeners want to look into this further, is called Soiled Rotten. And it's a great book. It talks about not only how to do it, why you do it, but also how to pull together a work group to put it together literally. So it's a very fun book.
Those are great resources. Thank you.
You bet. Also, if people want to talk further or get more information, they're welcome to contact our plant clinic at lincolnmg@oregonstate.edu and ask them to get a message to Mary Jane, and I would be happy to answer questions or talk with people about the topic if they're interested.
Hopefully by next year, most people in Lincoln County are going to have a keyhole garden. Thank you so much for coming on to talk with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Now to get into some fall gardening tips, let's talk about squash season. There are two primary categories of squash, summer squash and winter squash. Summer squash includes plants like zucchini and patty pan squash, and they can generally be harvested at any point. They tend to have the best texture when harvested on the smaller side, so pick them when they are a usable size and not when they are as big as they can possibly get. Winter squash, on the other hand, need to ripen on the vine longer. Winter squashes include butternut, delicata, acorn squashes, and a lot more. Some signs that can indicate that your winter squash is ready for harvest is that the vine is beginning to die back, the outside skin of the squash has hardened, and the spot where the squash sits on the ground has turned color from a whitish to a dark cream or gold color, depending on the squash. That's it for our program this week, but tune in for future broadcasts on KYAQ Newport. You can find out how to contact us with all your gardening questions on our website, www.orcoastmga.org, where we'll also be putting these episodes after they air if you need another listen. We'd also love to hear your subject suggestions for future episodes of the Lincoln County Gardener. This broadcast is created by the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association, who work in collaboration with the Oregon State University Extension Services. Until next time, happy gardening!